Hello, I'm Richard Zink, Section Editor for Statistics for Therapeutic Innovation and Regulatory Science, the Journal of the Drug Information Association. Today I'm talking with my fellow editorial board member, Rick Turner, about a special series of papers on statistics, which appeared in the recent January 2014 issue, and about the general role of statistics in the future of drug development. Rick, hello to you.
Hi, Richard. A pleasure to be talking with you today. Thank you for the introduction.
The papers in the January issue address a range of recent developments and standards in the field of statistics and include the role of statistics in regulatory decision-making, the design of adaptive clinical trials, and issues related to drug safety. So, Rick, you worked with the series editors to put together this original proposal and wrote the commentary for the issue. Can you tell us why you were so keen to have this series of paper published in the DIA's journal?
Certainly. Let me just take a step back, perhaps, and introduce the two editors of this series, Dr. Olga Marchenko and Dr. Alex Dmitrienko. They are both highly qualified professional statisticians, but my excitement about this series is they worked with me very diligently to provide a series of papers very well suited for our wide readership within TIRS. They published extensively, and the authors they recruited have published extensively in specialist statistics articles and journals. But the key thing here was to be able to provide content that would enrich our readers' understanding of the development of statistics as applied in medical product development and medical product use. Particularly of interest to me was to make sure that we had representatives from a very wide range of organizations, and Olga and Alex succeeded very well on that. We have representatives from three different sections, all of which are vital in the development and use of medical products. We have people from the biopharmaceutical industry contributing, the medical device industry, clinical research organizations, and statistical consulting, coming from what I'd call the sponsor side. We also have multiple representatives from regulatory agencies and the FDA, the US FDA specifically, and we have people from academia as well, and I think this triumvirate is critically important in modern drug and device development and also therapeutic use. Just as some examples from the sponsor side, we have representatives from Amgen, Alcon Research, Medtronic, Janssen, Lilly, Quintiles, which happens to be where I work, Pfizer, Novartis, and Aptiv Solutions. As I said, multiple representatives from the US FDA, and I will talk about a couple of those in due course. And from the academic side, we have representatives from both the United States and Europe. We have people from University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Johns Hopkins, the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, and Hasselt and Katholiek universities from Belgium. And that's a tremendously wide range. I think we need to remember that global drug development and device development is indeed a global activity, and that regulators worldwide need to be involved in what we're doing, along with representatives from academia and sponsors worldwide. So I guess the major excitement, and we can talk about a few of the individual topics in due course that I was excited about, is that we're getting together a tremendously wide range of people coming together to contribute to our journal specifically. Everything has been tailored to our readership. And I firmly believe that while not everyone needs to be a professional statistician, everyone involved in medical product development and use and regulatory science needs to have an understanding of statistics. It's very good if we're not afraid of having conversations with statisticians on our teams. I say we don't all need to know the formulae inside and out, but having a conceptual understanding of the fundamental importance of statistics and what our journal is all about was the key exciting factor to me, and why I was so happy to work very closely with Olga and with Alex throughout the development of this series of papers.
Well, that sounds like a very diverse set of authors, and I agree that everyone should have some amount of statistical literacy. So I think this particular issue will serve a very important purpose. Now, I know we don't have time to go through all 12 of the articles, but could you highlight some of the common themes, perhaps give us just one or two specific examples?
I'll be very happy to do that. I think one common theme I've already mentioned is that we have people from all three. We have industry, regulators, and academicians. So that is a common theme throughout. I would just like to make one further comment on that, and this is a personal view, but I think one very well supported by the evidence and one that many people would support is that I regard the regulatory agencies as a true partner in the development of medical product and watching what happens when they actually come to the market and keeping very close evaluation of assessment of efficacy and safety once the drugs are being in therapeutic use. Clearly, regulatory agencies do have to play a governance role. We do have to work under their governance, but they are not just in the position of being a police agency. I've had multiple experiences with many regulators, and I really do passionately believe that they want to work with academics and they want to work with industry to bring good drugs to market. Obviously, one of their roles is to protect the public health against items, medical products that are likely to cause more harm than they are more benefit. But they also have the remit to promote public health, and they know this, regulators are very much aware of that, so they do want to bring products to market that are much more likely to do good than to do harm. Unfortunately, it is a simple fact of life that any drug, any medical product, always has a slight chance of doing harm to some individuals who may be environmentally or genetically predisposed. And obviously that's a critical part of our evaluations, and particularly in benefit risk assessments, which is a tremendously important area of both regulatory science and medical product development science. And it's interesting tangentially that while that's largely been a qualitative assessment until relatively recently, there is certainly much more literature about quantitating that relationship, which will be very useful going forward. So the first common theme, I think, is working together between all the three stakeholders that I've mentioned. A second common theme that goes across the series is taking a medical product life cycle approach. Often in our literature, we focus on early phase, phase one and phase two drug development. Then separately, we focus on later phase three and therapeutic confirmatory trials. And then again, sometimes separately, we focus on the equally important aspects of monitoring effectiveness and safety once we get into therapeutic use. By bringing a series of papers together that discusses those topics, both pre-approval and post-approval, I think it's a tremendous reminder to us all, not just readers reading perhaps some of their first statistical papers, but all of us heavily involved in the medical product industry, we have to take a life cycle view. And in fact, the earlier we start thinking about post-marketing work in our pre-approval development programs, the better. So that's the answer to your first question about common themes. I'll just mention three particular papers, and one specifically, and the other two as a pair of papers. I'm delighted that Olga and Alex were able to get Dr. Lisa Lavange to write the first article in the series. Lisa is in the Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, CEDR at FDA, and is essentially the lead statistician in that group. Interestingly, she has a background in industry and academics before joining the FDA, but she's a very accomplished person in all three. And I guess tying back into one of our earlier comments, in her 19 pages of her paper, there is not a single statistical formula. The paper very, very nicely explains why statistics and statistical science is a critical part of regulatory science. And if I just may quote the vision statement of the Office of Biostatistics at FDA, it says they are recognized for excellence in the application and communication of statistical science in drug regulation and development, and that they play a central role in promoting innovative, science-based, quantitative decision-making throughout the drug development life cycle. And the words of that resonated with what I've just talked about with life cycle approaches. They also resonate very nicely with the title of our journal. We have therapeutic innovation, we have regulatory science, we have us both working together. And I think that mission statement captures very well that fundamentally, statistics is a language that we use to be able to speak to each other, all the different people involved in medical product development and medical product use. It's great for some people, and we need professional statisticians to be able to do the calculations that produce the evidence from the data collected. But for the rest of us, we need to understand the general principles and indeed understand that compelling evidence from data collected and appropriate statistical analyses is the basis of rigorous and rational decision-making throughout the entire process. We do not want to make important patient-based decisions just at a gut level. We want to have all the empirical evidence that we can, and we want to have compelling statistical analyses done correctly to provide us with evidence-based medicine so that the physicians on the front line can utilize that to the greatest good and utilize that evidence when discussing with their patients particular therapeutic options. The other two papers that are of particular importance, I think, from my personal perspective, for those of us involved in the science of drug safety, it's very meaningful in this series that the approaches that statistics can bring to analysis of drug safety are increasing all the time. I think it's a fair comment that across the last 50 years of the development of statistics in the drug development and then the medical product development fields, statistics has got more and more sophisticated in answering questions about efficacy and effectiveness. But because of the multiple challenges of applying statistical analysis in the safety area, it has been less sophisticated until relatively recently. And clearly, drug safety, medical product safety in general, is hugely important. And it's wonderful to see that statisticians and the science of statistics has been working very diligently to bring quantitative measures to bear on the very complex problems of assessing medical product safety. So while we have multiple papers producing reports on the latest developments in assessing efficacy, to me, it provides a very nice completeness that Olga and Alex reached out to people involved in the safety. So just for that particular reason, I will highlight the two papers addressing those topics in the series. So thank you, Richard, for allowing me to share my enthusiasm and excitement about this series of papers. I wonder if I could just ask you to share with the people who will listen to this podcast as a professional statistician and also in your role as head of the statistics series and papers that are published in our journal. If you have general comments, I'm sure myself and listeners would love to hear them.
Well, thanks, Rick. I'm particularly excited about the journal TIRS, in particular this issue, because it's providing a forum for the diverse experiences necessary to conduct successful clinical trials. So as a statistician, I think we do a very good job of communicating the pros and cons of various approaches to other statisticians. But I think in general, we can do a better job of communicating these ideas to other subject matter experts involved in clinical trials. So this can include clinicians, regulators, data managers, biologists, chemists, everyone on the clinical trial team who doesn't have much experience, perhaps even a little bit of fear about the subject matter of statistics. So I think this particular issue provides a very good overview of statistical thinking from a very diverse audience and across a wide variety of topics, written to be very accessible to the larger clinical trial team. So it's my hope that we can continue this trend for accessible statistical papers submitted to the journal to create a better dialogue between statisticians and the rest of the clinical trial community.
That sounds great. Yeah, thank you. And I guess just I would love, if it's all right with you, to take the opportunity of having this conversation with you just at the end to widen the conversation up and ask you, what are the exciting things that we haven't talked about? What other areas are going on in the world of statistics that you would like to comment on?
Well, I think in general there has been and will continue to be a great deal of effort to make use of the totality of data that's available to better inform the decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis within a clinical trial. So relying less on somebody's experience or intuition and drive our decisions based on the data that we've collected. And there's lots of data that's available for us to make these kinds of decisions. So some examples of this can include a lot of the modeling and simulation efforts that can take advantage of previous development programs to choose a development path for a new drug or device that has a higher likelihood of clinical or regulatory success. Other examples can include using data from patient registries, say for particularly rare diseases, or other observational data to better guide the design of clinical trials. Or other observational analyses, for example, could include the post-market data that we collect through a lot of these observational databases to get early signals for any pharmacovigilance concerns with regards to the safety of medical products. Other examples involve sort of synthesizing the available medical literature through the use of meta-analysis and using these meta-analytic techniques to paint a more complete picture of the safety of any novel treatments. You were talking about safety earlier, and a large part of the problem with safety endpoints is that they're often very rare, and there's often a large number of safety endpoints to evaluate. So we have the problem of rare outcomes and the potential multiplicity of these outcomes, and trying to balance the needs of power versus type 1 error, which would be any kind of false positives. Those are important things to consider. But these meta-analysis techniques could also compare a single drug, but also take into account examining classes of treatments that may have particular safety issues with them. And even the potential with these meta-analysis techniques to compare therapies in an indirect way that have not been observed within the same clinical trials. I believe you mentioned already personalized medicine. Of course, this is a very hot topic. There's a lot of areas that are related to personalized medicine that require attention from statisticians. And this can include anything from identifying the biomarkers that influence the response to study therapies, how we can design clinical trials to identify the best therapies for patients with a specific set of biomarkers, and even how we can alter a treatment regimen for a patient who's currently being treated, that either their efficacy begins to wane or they start showing tolerability issues with their current therapy. So any kind of adjustments to dosing in this schedule could be important to understand for these patients. But there's also been a lot of recent work or interest with the operational aspects of clinical trials that focus on identifying safety quality signals to identify clinical sites in greater need of more thorough oversight. So this is talking about risk-based monitoring, and it's been shown that if we take a more risk-based approach to our clinical trials rather than a brute force approach, that there's a large potential savings in the resources and in the cost of the clinical trials. And ideally, this will translate to more affordable medications for the individual study patients, but also for patients in general once the drug reaches market. But I also think, as far as statistics, that more and more people are realizing the benefits of statistical graphics in summarizing vast amount of data and highlighting interesting signals, particularly those we've talked about from the safety realm, where we're comparing a large number of adverse events. Graphics are a very straightforward way of highlighting these potential safety issues among the sea of possible adverse experiences that a patient can have in a clinical trial. And plus, statistical graphics are just a very straightforward and easy way for statisticians to communicate ideas to a non-statistical audience. So in general, I think, based on the things I've described, it's really taking advantage of any and all data that's available to really make the best decisions in terms of how we design our trials, from everything down to the operations of the trial, but also in terms of analyzing the data that's collected at the end of the day to really identify any safety issues and combine information where needed to really to paint the best picture or the most informative picture of the safety and efficacy of the drugs or devices under study. So that's where I think statistics is and will be for the foreseeable future related to clinical trials.
Well, thanks, Richard. That's an incredibly helpful overview, and I'm thinking particularly in terms of listeners who may wish to send in their own manuscripts to our journal, and I'm sure if that's something of interest to you, Richard has given you a tremendous insight into potential topics and papers that he is editor of the statistical papers and the general journal would love to receive. So I think that's a great way to wrap up our conversation today, and perhaps I can just pass it back to you to make a last couple of comments. And again, thank you very much for this opportunity to talk about what is a fantastic series of papers.
Thank you, Rick, for sharing your thoughts with us and just this incredible collaboration with Olga and Alex. I think this is be a very worthwhile issue for statisticians and non-statisticians alike. I think this will conclude our podcast for today, and certainly, if, as Rick mentioned, if you have any manuscripts that you think would be of interest to the greater clinical trial community, particularly from a statistical perspective, we'd love for you to consider TIRS in submitting your article. But for more information about submitting the article or to find the article available in the January issue, please visit the website at tirs.sagepub.com. TIRS.SAGEPUB.com. Thank you.